Hey, has lichen sclerosis messed with your relationships? You know, partner, family, friends, even at work? Then you need to join us at the Holistic Healing Summit this May 13th to the 17th, because we're bringing all the experts. We're going to be talking about intimacy, sex, as well as how do you talk to your family, friends, provider, boss? All of those things. And this is a free event, live, virtually, so you can catch it anywhere in the world, May 13th to the 17th, from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. We've got sessions going on all day. Get more information at lssupportnetwork.org/WHS. That's lssupportnetwork.org/WHS.
Hey, welcome. Thank you for coming to listen to the Lichen Sclerosis Podcast. My name is Kathy, and this is our journal of learning about and living with lichen sclerosis. Each week, I research or speak to someone about an aspect of lichen sclerosis, and I bring you the information so you don't have to go searching. I bring you the real talk without the medical jargon. So this week is a continuation of the last episode. We're going to continue our conversation with an LS warrior who has not only become my sister, but she's become a true friend. I'm so excited for you to listen to the second part of our conversation, because she's going to tell you how it is that she went from excruciatingly painful sex to where she's basically having amazing pain-free sex with multiple orgasms multiple times a week. She loves herself. She's living her best life right now. And you can too. Make sure you listen to the whole episode, because she's going to drop some bombs on you. Okay? And you're not going to want to miss it. Not only is she living her best life, but she's sharing her journey. She just went public with her blog last Tuesday, The Lost Labia Chronicles. I'm so excited. So if you haven't joined yet, make sure you go and join her email list so you get an email the next time she posts her blog. And you can go to lssupport.net/join TLLC. TLLC for The Lost Labia Chronicles. I'm telling you, you're not going to want to miss out on this, on one post of this blog. And I'm so excited because her blog and Lichen Sclerosis Podcast are sponsored by the Lichen Sclerosis Support Network. They are amazing. So make sure you follow them on Instagram or Facebook at Lichen Sclerosis Support Network, or go to their new website at lssupport.net and see all of the exciting things that are coming up. And make sure you join the newsletter so you get notified when they drop a new project and you get first dibs on what's coming up. Make sure you listen all the way to the end so I can give you an update on what some of those new projects are. So without further ado, here's the rest of my conversation with Jacqueline from the Lost Labia Chronicles.
This information is for educational purposes and does not constitute medical advice. Speak to your medical provider before making any changes to your care.
So you went from your GP 9 months later. Now you see the specialist.
Mm-hmm.
How did that visit go?
That visit was an emotional visit, because I waited 9 months, and because I waited 9 months alone. In those 9 months, I didn't know a single soul with lichen sclerosis, not a single face, not a single name. So I had nobody to talk to. I mean, my therapist, I spoke to her, but she didn't have lichen sclerosis, and she, that's not her area, right? She's a sex therapist, but she's not a lichen sclerosis medical researcher. And so I sat for 9 months in so much uncertainty. I had so many questions. I came in with questions. I think I wrote down 40. It was insane how many questions, because the more time goes on, the more you start thinking, the wheels start going, and you just have more and more questions. So there was such a buildup for me emotionally for that 9 months that by the time I got there, I was crying in the waiting room.
Oh, wow.
And then I was bawling. And once we got to the room, I had two nurses. They played with my, they were like petting my hair. They got me a blanket. One was just there with a Kleenex box, dabbing my tears. They were so kind and so compassionate, but I was so like, you know, I just couldn't calm down. And the gynecologist himself, he was very compassionate, very calm. He actually did take the time to answer all of my questions. And, you know, he took time to answer my lifestyle questions, which was really important to me. So he actually encouraged me to have sex. He encouraged me to exercise. He said, I don't want you to stop anything that you're doing. The only thing that you might have to do is modify a few things that you do. You might just have to cut a couple positions away from how you have sex. You might just want to avoid a bicycle until, you know, you get into remission. You might, if swimming, I'm a swimmer and I thought I couldn't swim. And he was like, no, absolutely not. No, you can absolutely, please go swim. If that brings you joy, go swim. He said, you know, just put some coconut oil or a barrier cream on before, swim, and just don't linger in your bathing suit afterwards. Rinse off, put your barrier cream, continue your maintenance steroid protocol, which he put me on, because at that point I'd been doing it every day for 9 months.
Wow.
Yeah, because they just told me apply daily until you can see the gynecologist. And then he was like, okay, you don't need to do this anymore. Monday, Thursday, no more. And I was like,
were you red at that time? Were you, was your,
I was like, for a while. Yeah. But I just thought that was normal, or I guess I thought it was good because there was color again.
Right. You're like, well, I'm not white. I'm red now. So
like, I didn't,
that's closer to like, pink. No,
that was exactly my thought process. So he was like, no, no, no. Monday, Thursday, please try and have sex. But in a safe way, you know, use some dilators.
Be mindful. Listen to your body.
Yes. He encouraged me to use dilators first too, and then kind of transition. Yeah. So he gave me a lot of information and he was very compassionate. So it was worth the 9 months to get a good gynecologist, but it was a very lonely 9 months.
Yeah. How long ago was that visit?
Two, maybe less. Yeah.
So about 2 years ago, you started using the steroid properly. You're still seeing the sex therapist. Mm-hmm. You're done with the pelvic floor therapy and you stopped using the dilators. So after this visit, you know how to use your steroid properly. You have all your questions answered.
Mm-hmm.
You have someone to talk to on a weekly basis, the sex therapist, and you have a resource now for your LS, your specialist. Yeah. How did that change your mental?
So let's say that I was at a level 100 of anxiety before. I think it brought me down to a 50.
Okay.
So it helped, but there were still a few more pieces missing. And I think, I mean, initially it was like, okay, I can swim, but can I? You know, not that I didn't trust him, but I'd gone so long not swimming. I'd gone so long not exercising. I'd gone so long with nothing touching my vulva, my vagina, my husband, you know, no oral, no nothing, which he also said, oh, oral is fine. Because I asked him about that. And he said, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you can't have penetrative sex, like orgasming is important. It's sexual health is important.
So did you jump into penetrative sex?
Definitely not. I was way too terrified. And he did encourage dilators because it had been so long. He was like, you might want to start with dilators and stuff first and then move there. I moved into everything very slowly. I'm a baby steps kind of person.
Okay. Well, it obviously it works for you. So you listen to your body, listen to your speed. My saying is meet yourself where you are and take a baby step forward.
Yeah.
You know, don't push yourself to do all the things at once because you feel like, okay, I need to be better in 3 months.
Yeah.
Don't give yourself a deadline because you're setting yourself up for failure. I learned this years ago when I went on a lifestyle change and I lost weight. And I never gave myself a deadline. I gave myself a goal Mm-hmm. And I said, I will reach that goal when it is my time to reach that goal. But I'm not going to say I'm going to reach that goal in a year. I'm not going to put that pressure on myself. I will do what I'm have to do to reach that goal. But it's not like, okay, this month I have to lose a certain amount of weight. It's going to be whatever I lose, I lose. And then next month, I'll lose some more and I'll lose some more. It is a journey.
Absolutely.
This is a journey. It's not a race. So meet yourself where you are and take a baby step forward. And you know what a baby step is for you. You know, wherever you're comfortable, just push yourself just a little bit more. Before you realize it, you'll look back to where you were a few months ago and realize, wow, I've actually made some progress, even though it might feel like I'm not doing anything. I'm not making any progress. But when you make those little baby steps, they add up, and they add up quickly, and they add up to make major steps. So I'm all about, you have a big goal, and then you're just making baby goals to get to that big goal versus focusing on that big goal, because that puts too much pressure on you. So I love that you did that, because that's amazing and it's healthy. You're not making new problems for yourself to solve that first problem. So how long after you now know how to use your steroid correctly, after you know that you can do all the things like you're exercising, like swimming, how long until you get to a place where you feel like, okay, I'm symptom free and your life is kind of getting back into a pre-LS stage? And what I mean by that is you're exercising again, you're doing all the things. Even though it's moderated to your new lifestyle, you're going back to doing those things.
Honestly, probably about 6 to 8 months total. Yeah. It took a while. It did. And that might be in part because I did baby step a lot of the way. That was just what felt right for me. It took time for the physical symptoms to kind of just go away, and they did. And exercise is probably one of the first things that I brought back. But again, that was baby steps too. I started with walking and just upper body weight exercises versus lower body. And each thing that I brought back made me a little bit more comfortable. So each time I kind of got to check a box off, even if it was teeny tiny, even if it was, now I walk 30 minutes, whereas last week I walked 15 and I walked 30 minutes and it didn't hurt. Check that box. It made me feel a little bit more comfortable to go the next level, which might be a bigger walk, or it might be going back to the gym and picking up the weights. And then when I did, you know, so each thing that I did, it built my confidence. And as my confidence increased, my anxiety kind of decreased, and so did my stress. And so I just kind of went that way with most of my things, little tiny baby steps that kind of got me where I am. And I have been in remission now for almost 10 months very soon. So that's pretty exciting. You know, yeah, it took time to get there. It took time for the symptoms, first of all, like the fissures and the stabbing, shooting, glass feeling. It took some time for that to settle, and the itching, because I did develop some itching afterwards. It took time for that to settle. And then it took time to slowly bring back parts of old me into it, because it felt so foreign, I guess. Yeah. I hadn't done these things.
Well, that, and like I talked about in a previous episode on libido, remember, about how your subconsciousness is going to give you these body triggers, these mental triggers that you can't do this because that equals pain, and pain equals death. And by you taking these little steps, you are reprogramming the subconsciousness that, no, this is okay. This is good. This does not equal pain. So this does not equal death. So you don't have to give me those fight or flight triggers, and we're good. You know, so slowly changing that subconscious trigger with a conscious plan and a conscious thought is very, very good, because the other thing you don't want to do is shock your system.
Right.
Because I think if you would have just jumped into it, it could, especially with your anxiety, it could have shocked the system to where the factor, if anything went wrong, you would have completely shut down.
I probably would have.
I'm never doing that again. See?
Exactly.
So by doing those little pieces, it gave your body and your subconscious time to adjust. And so that's amazing. Definitely, again, it's a marathon, not a race.
100%.
So yeah, it's going to take time and we have to be patient. We have to be patient.
It'll take the time that your body and your mind need.
Exactly. So now you're in remission. You have your GP, you have a specialist, you have a sex therapist, and your pelvic floor physical therapist. You have a team, which you're always advocating for a team. We need a team.
Yeah.
You're starting to do all the things that were pre-LS Jacqueline did, even though they were modified. You said there was still a piece missing.
Right.
So what was the last piece of the puzzle for you?
Yeah. So the last piece, I think, really that was missing for me was support and finding a community. And importantly, that was finding a community that was a good fit for me, because I think that's really important just when you're looking for a therapist or a pelvic floor physiotherapist, a gynecologist. Fit is really important. Not everybody is going to be everyone's cup of tea. There's a lot of support groups out there, and I tried some in the early days, and they were just not a good fit. The truth is, I don't even remember how I found your podcast, but I found it, and I am so grateful that I found it, because that kind of filled in a lot of information and knowledge gaps that I still had, despite having a gynecologist, because realistically, I only see him every 6 months, and there's only so much information I can pull out of him in those 6 months. Well, in the 20 minutes that I have with him.
And you get 20 minutes? Wow, yeah. I got like 5. But
yeah, but I was crying.
Oh, yeah. So to like give her more time.
She was like, oh my God, this girl might just might pass out on our floor if we don't give her a little extra attention. So I don't know if it's because I was crying that he was like, okay, this poor girl thinks she's dying. She's not, but we got to calm her down so she knows she's not dying.
So there's your tip for my listener. There's your tip. Cry. You need some extra time.
Look really distraught, really terrified. I wasn't faking though. This is authentic. I was really at that point. I 9 months alone, and that's this piece with community, was I wasn't alone anymore. So after I found your podcast, I started listening, and I think towards the end or the beginning, you had mentioned a virtual meetup for people with LS, and I was like, okay, let's give it a shot. But I was actually really nervous about it because I'd never met anybody with LS and I didn't know how that was going to go. And I'm actually a really shy, really introverted person. So what? I know, right?
I do not believe that.
Swear. My husband's working, but like I could pull him in. I am the shyest person. I'm so shy. I'm so introverted. So the prospect of meeting with people and talking with people, that in of itself makes me nervous. And then to meet people with LS for the first time, I was like, oh my God, how is this going to go? But it was a really good experience. I mean, the thing is, I wasn't happy that everybody in the group had LS and was struggling.
Right.
But I had went so long feeling completely alone in this. And all of these things like checking your vulva and these fears that are so specific to LS that no one could relate to.
Right.
Suddenly there was this group of people with LS in front of me that were just saying the same thing. And it just validated all those feelings that I had for so long and sat alone with.
Yeah.
So that was a really wonderful experience for me, because finally I was like, wow,
your community.
I'm not alone. And these women are fantastic. And then I shortly after joined the membership that you offered that's off social media. And really, I think that in the virtual meetups was that final piece, was support and community and information and resources and good quality information and resources.
That meetup that you came to was the first meetup that I've ever done. It was the first one. I was so nervous. but I was excited because this was something that I wanted. I started the podcast looking for community. I applied for some of those Facebook support groups and they didn't let me in. So I was like, fuck it, I'll just make my own community. And I did. And the virtual meetups are magic. I look forward to them every 2 weeks because we have a lot of the ladies that come back, but we always have new ladies. And even though we're all in different positions and we're different symptoms and we have different degrees of symptoms, we all are struggling with so similar mental issues and feelings, and we can support each other. And you can't get that in the same way online through a forum or, just like on Facebook and you're just a scrolling comment, you know. It's something, it's so much deeper that touches me every single time we do it. And that's why I say it's magic. And I love being able to provide that and build that community. And the fact that, like you said, it was the last piece of the puzzle for you. It just fills my heart because I've seen your growth from November to now. Like, that was crazy. The beginning of November, and this is the end of February. So 4 months. Yeah. In 4 months, Jacqueline, you have literally turned your life, I don't even want to say life, but really, yeah, it's this part of your life. You completely turned it around. And I'm just so proud of you because you had to do the work, but I'm proud to have been able to support you and to be able to provide that place where you feel supported. Because you mentioned the membership. LS Warriors is not a support group. I hate calling it that. It's a family. You join this family of sisters that know exactly what you're going through. They feel exactly what you feel because they know. And you're the beacon. You are the end result of where we all want to be.
You actually linked the book by Heather Jeffcoat, who talks about the dilator protocol in the membership. And that's what got me to start dilators again in the first place. So if you need
a good protocol, a good guide back to pain-free, enjoyable sex, Jacqueline is the perfect spokesperson for Heather Jeffcoat's book. Because now you've gone through this book, you've gone through this protocol, and you are like a nymphomaniac. So how long did you go totally from when you said, okay, we're going to stop having sex until the next time you had sex?
Yeah, penetrative sex, probably 1.5 years, maybe a little more.
A year and a half.
A long time. A really long time that we took a full step back. Yeah.
Share as much as you want to share, but you know me. So, first time, was it planned? Was it spontaneous? How did it happen?
It was a bit of both. I was not nervous at all. I knew that I was ready. I just kind of felt it. You know, 2 weeks prior, I was like, I feel like we can do this now. I feel ready, you know. I worked up to my number 5 dilator, and then I bought a dildo that was more accurate to his size and shape. And I was working with that. And I was just feeling like, it's not painful. This is fun. I think we're ready. Like, I think we can do this now. So one morning I woke up and was kind of just like, hey, so I have to do my dilators this morning when I'm done. Do you want to try and have sex? And there was no pressure. Yeah. We both had said before that we would treat the first time we had sex almost as if he was another dilator.
Oh.
So yeah, that was the mentality that we were going on. So that took the pressure off off of both of us, because there are different pressures and anxieties on both of us, right? Like you say in the other episode where you talk about relationships and how to be okay with LS in relationships, it's a partnership. Right. They're part of this too. LS doesn't happen to one person, it happens to both. So there's a lot of pressure on him too. So this kind of helped remove that pressure where we were like, we're just going to use you as another dilator. Right. You're going to go in and move in and out a bit. And that's going to be that. That wasn't just that, because when he went in, it didn't hurt at all. This was a miracle, because I can't even remember the last time that someone entered me and there was no pain.
Right.
I can't even remember what having zero discomfort is like. There was always just a little bit, even if it was just a teeny bit at the start. And he just went in me like it was nothing. It didn't hurt at all. And I think we both realized from my facial expressions that it was fun and enjoyable. So clearly we went from treating it as you're a dilator to, nope, we're going to have sex and we're going to enjoy this. Yeah. And I orgasmed twice.
Woo!
Yes. And that was also very exciting, because for the longest time, I also thought, because my clitoris, because I have clitoral phimosis, I was worried that maybe I couldn't orgasm anymore. That's false, by the way. You totally can. If you're a listener and you are fused, you can still orgasm. All yes. good. So we did. And immediately after, I bawled my eyes out. Like, aww. Just my eyes were so swollen after. But it was the first time that I cried after sex, but it wasn't because of pain, or it wasn't because of disappointment, because I couldn't finish. Like I'd have to be like, I need you to get out. Like, this can't go on.
Yeah.
And this was the first time that I cried, because it didn't hurt at all. And it was fun. It was pleasurable. And I couldn't believe it, because when I was diagnosed with LS, I truly believed, in fact, I had accepted my fate as, you just can't have pleasurable sex, penetrative sex. I almost accepted that. I did not think this was in the realm of possibility. It was astounding to me. So it was such an emotional moment for so many reasons. I never thought this was possible for someone like me. And it was also really validating, because, you know, I did put in a lot of work to get there. I worked with the dilators, as you know, and as everybody in the membership knows, because I talk about it a lot. It was like 3 to 4 months of working with the dilators and, you know, working with my sex therapist to manage anxiety and stress, and connecting with my pelvic floor through, you know, pelvic floor meditations with my pelvic health physiotherapist, and just all these things, and to see it all pay off. And it took a long time, because if you look in the grand scheme of things, it was a really long time. But I, in an odd way, I want to thank you for my amazing sex, because
I'll take it. You're welcome. Yeah.
No, because like I said, you and all the women in the virtual meetups and in our little membership family, you were that final piece. And when we had that first virtual meetup, which I didn't know was our first one, we ended up talking about sex a lot.
Yeah.
And you at one point asked, you said, who's having sex? And no one, yeah. one person.
But one person. Up. Yes. One
person. And it really stuck with me, because, well, A, I was like, okay, I'm not the only one, so I'm not a bad person for taking a step back, because I thought I was.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm not a bad person. Cool. But then you released shortly after the episode on libido and all of that. And it really inspired me. And at this point I was in remission. So I should note very importantly that I wasn't flaring during any of this. I was in remission, but I was afraid to take that next step. And you really inspired me to take that next step, to when you put Heather Jeffcoat's book up there, and I read it and I was like, okay, now is the time. I felt it in my body. I was like, this, I'm ready now. I can do this. And it feels right in my body and in my soul. And clearly it worked. And so thank you, because for the longest time, I needed that inspiration. I needed something to kind of wake that part of me up again and be like, no, you can try for this. You can do this. So
you can. Absolutely. You can. If you're listening to this and you feel like, I'm never going to have sex again, I'm a lost cause, this is just not something that's in my future, I've given up, you can absolutely do this. It can take experimenting. It's going to take those baby steps, but you can get to a point where you're better, and then you start making that transition to making that space, working with a pelvic floor therapist, find out what it is, because you may not have scarring. Your issue may be tight pelvic floor muscles. You may have a lot of scarring. So you might not be able to do it with just cream, and you might have to have surgery. You can absolutely get there, but your path may be a little bit different than Jacqueline's. But you, if you make that decision and say, look, this is something that I'm going to work towards, it can take a year, it can take 6 months, it can take whatever time it takes, as long as you know, okay, this is my goal and I'm going to work towards that goal, then you can do this. It is absolutely doable. And if you need that support, if you need that extra piece, join us in the virtual meetup. Come, lichensclerosispodcast.com/connect. Sign up. We meet every 2 weeks on Saturday between 2 and 4 and 7 and 9. So whichever time works for you, come. If you want to get more information on the membership, if you feel like, you know what, I'm ready to jump in there, if you want to come and look at the membership, join the membership, you have 24/7 access to support, to information. We do all kinds of fun things together to build the connections. I always say our community is connections first, education second, because we are attacking those negative emotions. We are attacking that. That is the whole point of this community. And part of that is education. Part of that is information. But a big part of that is knowing that you have someone to go to when you are having those hard, stressful days, when you are having those negative emotions, when they're attacking you. And part of that is letting you know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And Jacqueline, you are part of that light. And thank you for being part of the community and in the big way that you are. So I really appreciate you being there. I know the other ladies do too. I'm just so happy and so proud of you.
Thank you so much.
That, you know, I cannot wait to read your blog. It's going to be amazing. And that you're being sponsored by the Lichen Sclerosis Support Network is amazing, because we are coming out with so many amazing things. And to have you as part of that is just making it so, so much better. So I truly, truly appreciate you.
Right back at you.
If anyone wants to get in touch with you, where can they get you?
On Instagram and Facebook at the Lost Labia Chronicles. And if you want to email me, you can reach me at lostlabiachronicles@gmail.com. And I'm really happy to talk to anyone anytime. Just please feel free to message me.
Yes. And she has no filter. There's no such thing as TMI. Same thing in the membership. We talk about anything and everything. So if you want to talk about anything and everything, she will. I know. So this was so much fun. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been awesome.
Boom. Don't you want to be just like her? Like, I want to be having amazing sex multiple times a week. I would like to be happy with my body just the way it is. Her story truly has a happy ending, and I cannot be more excited to see where she goes from here. I'm telling you, the work that she's done in these past 4 months is amazing. If you want to go deeper into her journey, make sure that you go to lssupport.net/jointllc and get on her mailing list. You're not going to want to miss one blog post. I'm telling you. And the first one is already out. I want to hear from you. Let me know what you thought about her story, about her journey. You can reach me at Kathy with a K at lichensclerosispodcast.com or on Instagram at lichensclerosispodcast. Like Jacqueline said, we met at my first virtual meetup, and since then, she has been part of both of my groups. She has been instrumental, and I'm so happy that I can create the space for her. And I want to create the space for you. So if you haven't signed up for the virtual meetup, please do. You can go to lssupport.net/connect, put in your email address and your name, and you will get all of the updates and notifications on when the next meeting is. And as a matter of fact, as we drop this episode, we have a meeting tomorrow. We do them twice a day, 2 to 4 and 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm telling you, it's amazing. You can see how it changed Jacqueline's life, and I want to help change yours as well. And if you're ready to go a little deeper, if you want 24/7 support, 24/7 information, if you want to be able to reach somebody 24/7 because you need to vent and you want someone who's connected to you, who understands, sign up for the waitlist for LS Warriors, because we truly are not a support group. We are a family. And we're always looking for a new family to come on in. We're waiting for you. So the doors are not open right now. I only open them every couple weeks because, like I said, this is a family. And I want you to come in. I want you to get acclimated. I want you to get to know the other ladies and for them to get to know you and for you to feel comfortable. And you can't do that if there's new people constantly coming in. So get on the waiting list. When I open the doors again, you'll be able to come in, try it out, and see how it works for you. The group is just in its infancy. We've only had it for 4 months, and I've never been in a group like this before, and I bet you haven't either. So if you're ready for that kind of support, please go to lssupport.net/LSWarriors and join the waitlist. I really, really hope that you've been inspired by Jacqueline's story, because you can do this. I know you might be in a place where it's just hard to believe. And you've been doing this by yourself for so long, and it's been hurting for so long. Or you just got diagnosed and you're reading all of these horror stories and you're seeing these pictures and you're just like, it's gonna get worse. Is it going to get worse? Does it ever get better? Am I always going to be in this pain? And the answer is, you don't have to. You do not have to. We are here to support you. We're here to help you. And we're here to be by your side as you find out what it is that you need to do to get better. So come to the virtual meetup. Let's talk. Let's get you on the road to recovery, to healing, because I know you can do it, and I need you to believe that you can do it. I hope you have an amazing week, and I will talk to you next time. Bye.